Blog Talk Radio.
Praise be to God, everybody. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilder, sitting in for my pastor, Prophet R.D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manasseh Christian Ministries, INC. And we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to first of all take this time to thank you for tuning in. And this is Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray for every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m., and at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Sister Barbara Amore is going to come with our lesson this evening in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. So if you would like to join us, you can call in at 319-527-6204 at 7 p.m. And you can give your thoughts or comments on what the writer is conveying. Amen. Praise be to God. So at this time, I'd like to welcome in the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary. We never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. So Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Praise be to God, by Francesca.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here.
Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision. And I pray your Holy Spirit manifest a breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all 9 of its gifts, and that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. So, I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, taking prayer requests at this time. You can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. We are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. Amen. To God be the glory. So at this time, I will play another selection.
I am the one who spoke into nothing and all creation heard. I am he who has all power in my hand. And if you believe on my word, you can stand. I am the one whose name is a tower where you can run and hide. I am he who has all power in my hand. And if you believe on my word, you can. And where you start, I am the
consider. When God speaks to Sarah at 90 years old and tells her she's about to give birth to a baby, she laughs. But God responds and says, is anything too hard for me? And some of y'all have situations that look like they can't be fixed. But you have to understand that when I am is in the picture, anything is possible. I need you to look at somebody and say, anything is possible. So God says, no matter what it looks like, God says, you're overwhelmed, but body's rocking with pain, but I am. Look at somebody and say, God says,
I am.
Let me be who
I am.
I don't understand how I'm gonna get out of it, but and say, God says,
I am.
Look at somebody else and say, God says,
I am.
Somebody needs to know that God says,
I am.
One more time, y'all. Tell them who he is. He says,
I am.
I know the numbers are bigger than you, but can bring you out no matter what it looks like.
I am.
Say, I am.
I am.
One more time, say, God says,
I am.
Just lean on him because
I am.
You can be peace.
I am.
Praise be to God. You're listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Wednesday, Tuesdays to Thursdays, Fridays, excuse me. Whew. We pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. Amen. And you can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. Let us pray. El Shaddai, thank you for the promises you gave to Abraham. Thank you for the communing with him and establishing the Abrahamic covenant, through which you have truly blessed all the nations on the earth. Thank you for love, which you promised to Abraham on that day, and have also promised to me and you and everyone through your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. So, again, at this time, I will play another selection while we are waiting. So how about we, this selection is written by Apostle R.D. Wiggins, and it's entitled, In the Presence of His Grace. Amen? So I hope you enjoy this selection. Praise God. And again, at 7 p.m., our very own Barbara Amore is going to come with our lesson this evening in basic theology. That's Christian theology, where we go through what the scriptures and whatever what the writer is conveying in his message to us. Amen. So if you would like to join us, you can also call at 7 p.m. That's our lesson starts at 7 p.m. And the number is 319-527-6204. Praise be to God. And now the selection of In His Presence of In the Presence of His Grace by Apostle R.D. Wiggins. Praise be to God.
I can't complain, no, I can't complain. Mama's taking it easy, Papa's gone on to paradise, smiling down on me. So many people just trying to make ends meet, hoping and praying. Happy and free. Come Sunday morning, down on my knees, I'll be falling, and I'm gonna give the Lord His day. Everything will be okay in the presence of His grace. A heated conversation, me and my baby, with sometimes debate. Life has but few guarantees, sweet love and a good cup of coffee. Grown children don't seem to think life can slip away. No time to listen to what this old man has to say. Oh, you see the world. Everything will be okay in the presence of His grace. Come Sunday morning, everything will be okay. In the presence of His grace. Oh, yeah. In the presence of His grace. In the presence of His grace. Oh, in the presence of His grace. Yeah. In the presence of His grace.
Praise be to God in the presence of His grace. Hallelujah, Jesus. El Shaddai, which means Almighty God. El Shaddai, you are great and mighty in power. Your understanding and wisdom knows no limits. Your might knows no bounds. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so your ways reach higher than my own. You surround me with the blessings of your provisions as you covenant with me through your Son, Jesus Christ. The balancing of the clouds and the wondrous work of the earth are nothing compared to you, who sit enthroned in might and valor. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Again, this is our sweet hour of prayer. We pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at this time, I will play another selection. And after this selection, I will come back with our daily bread and scriptural readings for this evening. Amen. Praise be to God.
Father, we ask you now, as we lift your name, that you'll dwell among us and be our God. We are your people. Let's sing it like this together. No matter what,
no matter what,
come on, the problem
may be,
He's in control.
He's in control and He knows everything.
I have the victory for
Him. I have the victory, for He is my King.
In Him I live, I move.
In Him I live, move and have my being.
Say it again. No matter what,
no matter what, the problem may be,
He's in control.
He's in control and He knows everything.
How many know that you've got the victory?
I have the victory, for He is my King.
Him I live, I move,
in
and
Him I live, I move, and have my King.
Say like this, let the people.
Let the people.
Come on, lift them up in here.
Oh,
as you lift him up and give him the glory. He dwells in the midst of his people. So God, as we lift your name, we lift you high on the earth. Let's do it together, all the sinners, all over the world.
Lift him up.
Come on, sing it.
Lift him up.
Lift him up.
Lift him up.
Higher and
higher. Higher and higher.
So good are you.
Lift him up.
That don't mind singing it.
Lift him up.
Come on, sing it. Lift him up.
Praise God. Our daily bread and scriptural reading for this evening is coming from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Again, the scripture is Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. Amen. And this chapter is talking about the unity in the body of Christ. Verse 11 says, "Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown away by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together. Part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and doing of his mighty word. Amen. The title of this message is Moving Toward maturity. Amen. And the text for this message is coming from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13. Excuse me. And it says, become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Praise be to God. The writer says, a recent surveyor asked respondents to identify the age at which they believe they became adults. Now, those who considered themselves adults pointed to specific behaviors as evidence of their stature. Having a budget and buying a house topped the list as being marks of adulting. Other adults actively range from cooking dinner every weeknight and scheduling one's own medical appointments, to the more humorous ability to choose to eat snacks for dinner or being excited to stay home on a Saturday evening instead of going out. The Bible says we should press on toward spiritual maturity as well. Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, urging the people to become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness in Ephesians 4 and 13. While we're young in our faith, we're vulnerable to every wind of teaching, which often results in the division among us. Instead, as we mature in our understanding of the truth, we function as a unified body under him who is the head. That is Christ. And you'll find that in verse 15. Now, God gave us his spirit to help us grow into a full understanding of who he is, John 14 and 26. And he equips pastors and teachers to instruct and lead us toward maturity in our faith, Ephesians 4, 11 through 12. Now, just as certain characteristics are evidence of physical maturity, our unity as his body is evidence of our spiritual growth. To God be the glory. Question: in what ways are you still vulnerable to every wind of teaching? And how can you continue to grow, Julie? Think about those two questions. Amen. Praise be to God. Let us pray. Loving God, you are the author of our growth and maturity. Please help us to see where our understanding of you is still immature, and teach us more of your wisdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. And that concludes our daily bread and scriptural reading for this evening. At this time, I'd like to play another selection while we're waiting on our speaker for this evening. Amen. Praise God. And this selection is by the Wiki Tones, Jesus Saves.
Uh-huh.
They always say they got your back. Hard time will make you face two facts. A waste of life, you can't turn back. Mama cried so much till she had a heart attack. In your cell, you're crying out, oh Lord. In the dark, sense of voice answers your call. You feel the Holy Spirit anointed you for. The light of His word, pick you up and stand tall. Stand tall.
Praise be to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. El Roi, which means the God who sees me. We ask you to act on our behalf when you see us wronged unfairly. We ask you to defend and vindicate us when you see us accused unjustly. When others toil less and yet receive more reward, we ask you to see the diligence and the tenacity of our heart and open doors for us that only you can open, because you see, you do not see us as humanity does. You do not judge by external appearances or by what the world esteems. You see our heart. And we pray now what Nehemiah prayed so long ago. Remember us with favor. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. And it's as simple as that. You can call in your prayer request at 319-527-6204. We are here every Tuesday. We pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And our motto comes from James chapter 5, verse 16, where it says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And that is the reason why we are here every day on this program, to pray for one another. You pray, I pray for you, you pray for me, we all pray for each other in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Praise be to God. At this time, I will play another selection by Monodell called More Than an Ordinary Servant. Be to God.
More than an ordinary servant, I want to be more. full control of me. Show me the way to go. Use me and move me, yeah. Take away the hurt. When I can't seem to make it work, I've done all that I can. Turn on your word, I'm ready to stand. So I'm hearing your voice in silence and in melody, yeah. So I'm flowing in your will. All that I am, I have to fulfill. Oh, move me, Lord, yeah. Take full control of me. Show me the way to go. Use me and move me, yeah. Move me, Lord, yeah. Take full control of me. Show me the way to go. Use me and move me, yeah. Move me, Lord, yeah. Take full control of me. Show me the way to go. Use me and move me, yeah. Move me, Lord, yeah. Take full control of me. Show me the way to go. Use me and move me, yeah. Move me, Lord, yeah. Take full control of me. Show me the way to go. Use me and move me, yeah. Move me, Lord, yeah. Take full control of me. Show me the way to go. Use me and move me, yeah.
Amen. Praise be to God. And that concludes our sweet hour of prayer, as we are now getting ready to go into our lesson for this evening in basic theology by Charles C. Ryrie, with our very own Barbara Amore, who's going to come and conduct our lesson for this evening. So we're going to welcome her with a hand clap praise. Amen.
Amen. Good evening.
Amen. Good evening.
How's everybody?
Blessed. Thank you.
Praise God. Praise God. Amen. So we're going to open in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, few of your humble servants come to say thank you. God, thank you for taking us through this day,
yes,
this precious day that we've never seen before. Thank you for waking us up this morning and starting us on our way, giving us strength for the struggle, allowing us to see things we've never seen before. Father, we just can't thank you enough. Thank you for forgiving us of our sins, those of omission and commission. Thank you for blessing our families, Father God. Thank you for blessing our children. Thank you for blessing our pastors and elders and deacons and ushers and choir members and families, all around, God. Bless the bereaved family, Father God. Bless the government, Father God. Bless all those that are in need of a healing, Father God. And I believe that's all of us. So just bless us and we will be blessed. Keep us and we shall be kept. And I ask that you will be in this lesson as we go about learning more about Satan, and that you would just empower us to do your will and for you to have your way. All these blessings I ask in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So we're going to continue. Who's on the line?
First Lady.
Amen. And we're going to continue with, thank you, his name, part 4. And we stopped on page 159, but I'll pick it up again from the bottom of 158. Mm-hmm. We won't go into the scriptures because I think we already went over that. But his name, does everyone have that on page 158?
Yes.
Okay, the number and variety of names, amen. The number and variety of names given to Satan further support the reality of his existence. Satan used about 52 times from the Hebrew. Satan means adversary or oppressor, and we see that in Zechariah 3 and Malachi 4 and 10, Revelation 12 and 9, 20 and 2. Devil, used about 35 times from the Greek, diabolos, means slanderer, and that's in Matthew 4 and 1, Ephesians 4, 27, Revelation 12, 9, 20, and 2. And John records him as the evil one. So, Lady Nadine, would you get John 17 and 15 and first? Evangelist, would you get 1 John 5:18 through 19 when I ask you to read it? That's John 17:15 and 1 John 5:18 through 19. His evil character, indicated in this title, pervades the entire world, which is under his control. Yet the believer cannot ultimately be possessed by Satan. Wow. Ooh. Any thoughts about that before we read the scripture?
Yeah, I mean, that's just awesome, you know. And so it's wonderful to know this, yet the believer cannot be ultimately possessed by Satan, you know. And that takes out of everybody's mouth who says, the devil made me do it.
Ooh, yes. Yes. And they say his evil character pervades the entire world, which is under his control. But the believer cannot ultimately say that he's possessed by Satan. Ooh, glory.
Mm-hmm.
First Lady, read John 17 and 15, please.
Yep. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one.
Mm-hmm.
And that was Jesus' prayer for us. That was Jesus' prayer for us. Amen.
Would you read that one more time?
I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one.
Amen. So who is it that he's talking about taking out of the world?
He's talking about his disciples, his believers.
Okay.
This is a prayer that Jesus gave for us to his Father. Ooh. He prayed for us.
Glory to God. And
that
Thank
was one
God.
Of the requests.
Mm-hmm. And we still need it today.
Yes.
Even more so. Evangelist Hilda, 1 John 5:18 through 19, please.
Okay. We know that no one who is born of God sins, but he who was born of God keeps him, and the evil one does not touch him. We know that we are of God and that the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. Amen. Mm.
Thank you. What do you think about that?
Well, I mean, I love this because he said we know that no one is born of, you know, no one who is born of God sins. But he who was born of God keeps him. And so he's saying that even though Satan was born of God, but God still keeps him because why? The evil one does not touch him. So we know that we are of God and that God, wait a minute, let me get this right. Oh, so we as believers, we cannot live a life of sin. If we are of God, so we're not supposed to sin, but, you know, we're not perfect.
And that's to me like saying the devil made me do it.
Yeah, but
mm-hmm.
And that's always what we always say when we do something wrong.
We don't always say that. No, some say that.
Some
everybody
say
doesn't
that.
Say that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Some.
Everybody doesn't say that. No, the believers say that.
The believers.
You know, I'm not perfect.
That's the Satan. Satan made me do that. The devil made me do that because God know my heart. People say that all the time when they curse somebody out.
And when they sin, they're quick to say, well, I'm not perfect. Yeah, we know you're not perfect. We understand you're not perfect, but you, at this point, you're not even trying. You're not even striving
right.
for perfection.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
right.
I just want to read this from the Message Bible. That was 1 John 5:18-19. Mine goes to 21, if you would indulge me. It says, we know that none of the God-begotten makes a practice of sin, fatal sin. The God-begotten are also the God-protected. The evil one can't lay a hand on them. We know that we are held firm by God. It's only the people of the world who continue in the grip of the evil one. That's only the people of the world who continue to be held in the grip of the evil one. And we know that the Son of God came so we could recognize and understand the truth of God. What a gift. And we are living in the truth itself in God's Son, Jesus Christ. This Jesus is both true God and real life. Dear children, be on guard against all clever facsimiles. All right? Be on the lookout for the imitation of life.
Amen.
All right. So when people say, oh, the devil made me do it, or, you know, I'm not perfect, nobody's perfect, all right? But we still want to follow Christ.
Right.
And we want to do the things that Christ will do. So that means we think before we commit that sin. Oh, yeah, you can go back and repent. I'm sorry, Lord, I didn't mean it. Yes, you did. You did exactly what you intended to do.
Mm-hmm. But you could say, the whole thing is to have remorse behind it and not blame it on the devil, but blame it, but say, go to that person and apologize, you know.
Yes.
Ask them for forgiveness when you've done something wrong to them. Don't use, well, I don't know, the devil made me do it, I'm not perfect. No, we don't want to hear that. You did something that's wrong, so now ask for forgiveness for what you've done.
Mm-hmm.
That's what God wants us to do.
Mm-hmm. And don't be so quick to do the wrong thing, knowing that you can't repent.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Do the right thing,
right.
And then there will be no need to repent of your sin, because that's what it is. It's a sin.
Right.
You turned away.
It's of the
from
heart.
God. You turned
right.
away from the right when you know what the right thing is. All right.
Yeah.
Welcome,
exactly.
Apostle Mother Wigan. God bless you. How are you this evening?
Welcome.
Oh, fine. How are you? How are you all?
Hey,
Mother
Wigan. Glad you joined us. Amen.
I didn't hear what you said.
I'm glad that you came on, that you joined us.
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Thank you. Yeah,
or
I can hear
going
you now.
In and out?
It's going all right?
Okay. Yes, indeed.
Okay, we're talking about the devil, all right?
Yeah.
In Hebrew, they call him Satan, and in the Greek, they call him Diabolos. Amen? Mm-hmm. So we're going to continue. A serpent was the way Satan first appeared to mankind, Genesis 3 and 1. This characterization sticks with Satan in the New Testament as well, 2 Corinthians 11 and 3 and Revelation 12 and 9, and indicates his guile. What's guile? G-U-I-L-E. His guile and craftiness.
Like being guiled. Being slick.
Isn't that something evil?
I can't think of any other word for it, but.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah, it's like trying to fool somebody.
Right. Twisting the truth, and it seems
twisting,
to be correct.
Yeah.
And if you look at Genesis. Lady Nadine, would you get Genesis 3 and 1? Evangelist, get 2 Corinthians 11 and 3. Mother, if you would, get Revelation 12 and 9. And it's gonna this is going to tell us about the guile and craftiness of Satan. Any comments about that before we hear the scripture? Genesis 3 and 1, 2 Corinthians 11
3
and
1,
and Revelation 12 and 9. When you're ready.
3 and 1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other wild animal which Yahweh, God, had made. He said to the woman, "Did God indeed say, you shall not eat from any tree in the garden?" Guile. That's cunning. Sly, the slick and the wicked. It used to be a song out. Y'all remember that?
The slick and the wicked. Uh-huh. And so when that said to Eve, it makes her rethink and doubt what God
said.
Right.
Exactly.
This did God say? Yeah, that's what he said. That's what he said.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Right.
Amen. Thank you. Mother, Evangelist, 2 Corinthians 11 and 3.
Okay. I'm reading from the New Living. It says, "But I fear that somehow your pure and undivided devotion to Christ will be corrupt, just as Eve was deceived by the cunning ways of the serpent." Yeah, that's true, because if we lose focus on what of Christ, then of course Satan going to slip right in, and then he's going to put something else in your thoughts, and then you end up doing what you did not want to do,
which you know is wrong.
Right.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Mother. Revelation 12 and 9.
"And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." Amen.
Amen. And thank you. How many angels do they say were cast out with Satan?
It was a third. I think it was a third of the angels.
Third of the angelic choir. Or whatever grouping was, a third of the angels were cast out. What do you think about that? What you just read?
Well, they were following after Satan. If you're talking about the angels were cast out with him, those were those that was listening to what he was saying, you know, that he wanted to be above God, or he wanted to be be on God's throne. So there was war in heaven, and Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against his angels.
Okay.
So the other angels, they weren't in agreement with the ones that Michael was fighting with.
the ones that fought against the dragon. So there was a division between the angels.
So what side of right were Michael's angels, the archangel Michael, fighting on?
God's side.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He's fighting on God's side.
God's side.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Thank you. Satan is also depicted as a great red dragon, as Mother just read, Revelation 12, 3 and 7 and 9. Mother, would you get that also, Revelation 12, 3 and then 7 and 9? I'll ask you for it in a moment. This emphasizes Revelation 12, 3, 7, and 9. This emphasizes his fierce nature, especially in conflict, talking about Satan. Note that the dragon has a tail. Thus, our Halloween caricatures of Satan are not far off. And you know what that looks like, correct?
Yeah, yeah. Red.
What does that look like?
Tail.
The devil.
Oh, that's the devil
that they
portray down here.
Right. And so what does that costume often look like?
Dragon.
Yeah, and it's usually in red.
Yeah, red.
Yeah,
in red with a tail, horns, and a pitchfork.
Yes.
Yeah,
but we have to realize, and we know that that's not the way that the devil is seen.
Right.
When we do, you know, encounter him, he doesn't come standing out like that, so it's obvious that that's what he's trying to tempt you.
He comes to you beautifully. He's cunning.
Exactly.
He's going to be beautiful.
Very cunning.
He's going to be convincing.
Most,
he is beautiful, right?
He
exactly.
was the most beautiful angel in heaven.
Yeah.
And that's
right.
part of what went through his head, because he was so beautiful. He thought he could just outdo God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He allowed pride to take over him.
Right. Exactly.
And if he looked like that, people would run.
Amen.
As humans appeal is to something that looks nice and pretty. We like pretty looking things, right? Mm-hmm.
But we have some that like the macabre also. You know, they like the ugliness of, you know, and they would be drawn to that too, so.
Yeah. That's true too, because you got the followers,
like,
so that, you know.
Horrible kind of things, evil things. And there's a series that comes on TV called Evil. I don't know if anyone's seen that yet.
Oh, no, I don't look at
that.
Yeah, I saw it.
I have to watch that. One at a time.
What it is is that he's a priest. The black guy is a priest.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes around doing exorcisms.
Mm-hmm.
People who have been... Right, people who have been
exercise the devil out of people.
Yeah, that's
it just looked a little too much for me. I'm like, I don't really want to see that.
Yeah,
but anyway, I think that's a lot of the reason for the evil that we see, you know, around us. People are watching those kinds of things. Not just that, it was something before that, This Is Us and them, and, you know, Let's Get Out of Here.
Yeah, that got a joke. I have a
but
joke.
But can
you
I finish
up
anyway.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
But hey, I mean, you know, what I'm saying is it's a lot of evil pictures that people get caught up in. And I think because it looks so acceptable, it's on the widescreen, it's on the home screen, people think that it's something to be a part of and that it's accepting, you know, and they do it. They go out and they act on a lot of the things that they see. And that's part of the problem with the evil that we are experiencing in this country, in this world, period. That's a part of the problem. The things that people watch on TV. Certain things you just have to kind of screen out and say, I'm not going to watch that. They have that child protection thing. I know that's the wrong name, but the child, the parent, parental thing, so that children can't see certain things. They need to do that for the adults too. Screen themselves. You can't watch everything. That gets into your spirit. All right, let's see your jokes.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I mean, I think that the stuff that's on TV now would never have been on TV years ago. You know, those are the things that were they were considered just you would never see stuff like that on TV now.
Yeah,
it's just
you had censors.
A lot of blood.
And censors wouldn't allow certain, you could even say pregnant. You could even show two people in bed of the opposite sex.
Yeah,
remember when I Love Lucy was on, they slept in twin beds. But they had children.
Yeah, they had twin beds.
Yeah, so
we never thought about how they had them children.
Society is changing. It has changed.
Yeah.
But we don't change because society changes, because if we're following God, he never changes. And people say, oh, it's a modern world. We don't do that anymore. But is that God-like? If it's not God-like, then you need to not do that. Go back to what God would want you to do if you profess and to follow him. You following the world or you following God?
Mm-hmm.
You going to tell your joke or should I just continue?
Oh, yeah, no. I'm just going to say when that series Evil came out, it was advertised on the buses, right? The buses would have big words, Evil, on the buses.
Yes.
So this old West Indian Caribbean woman, you know, she gets on the bus and she says to the bus driver, how, I cannot believe, why would you drive a bus that's called Evil? The bus driver was just like, it's like it's an advertisement. She says, but you would drive a bus called Evil? I'm going to pray for you. I didn't even want to get on this Evil bus, but there was no other bus coming, so I got on this Evil bus.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Baby, I hear you.
Exactly. Yeah, that's awesome.
But anyway.
Thank you. Okay, so note that the dragon has a tail. Thus, our Halloween caricatures of Satan are not far off. An illustration, an older student, when asked by a younger student, what kind of a teacher so-and-so is, might say, oh, he's a bear. The meaning is clear. That teacher is part. Satan is a dragon. The meaning is clear. He is ferocious in his attacks against believers. So any thought about that? Anyone want to share? No,
that
okay.
was pretty straightforward.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
One of Satan's activities is to be the accuser of the brethren. We see that in Revelation 12 and 10. Oh, I'm sorry, Mother. I didn't get you to read Revelation 12, 3, 7, and 9. Is it fine?
Okay.
9 and 10. May I go put that in?
Okay.
12, 3, 7, 9, and 10.
Okay. And there appeared another wonder in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon, having seven heads and ten horns, and seven crowns upon his head. They're describing him here, you know. Then it says, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against his angels. And the great dragon is cast out, that old serpent called the devil, and Satan, which deceives the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them
before our God, day and night.
Wow. Thinking about that. Thank you, Mother. Any thoughts about that? Anyone?
Well, that's what Satan does. He's accuser of the brethren. You know, he points out, he does it for us today. He points out, you know, what we're doing. He tries to show God what we're doing and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And, so that's why he's accuser of the brethren. But I think he goes up to heaven. I think he's in the second heaven.
So does he still have a relationship with God?
Mm-hmm. Well, yes, God. He still kind of has a relationship with God, because you know, God. Even when God is, sometimes when God is doing things, He allows the devil to do things. He uses the devil.
Right. He gives him permission.
Yeah, He gives him permission to do things. But I guess he's a chooser of the brethren because he's the prince of this world here. The devil.
Because he's what?
And the other thing.
Let me hear what Mother had said. Because he's what of this world?
The prince. He's the prince of this world.
Oh, okay. The prince of the power of the air.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you. Yes, ma'am.
And I think of him being an accuser, because what the devil does is, you know, he knows each and every one of our weaknesses.
Mm-hmm.
And when we act on our weaknesses, that's when he becomes the accuser. That's when he says, like, it's almost like I remember when my daughter was little and another little girl, she was cunning too, and she wanted ice cream. But she asked her mother for ice cream, and her mother, we were all together, and she asked her mother for ice cream. Her mother said no. So she goes to my oldest daughter, and she says, ask your mother for ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
So I heard her whispering in my daughter's ear. So my daughter, who had no intention, she didn't want ice cream, but sure enough, she come up, and she says, Mommy, can we have ice cream? But I don't know, heard the little girl whispering in her ear. I said, you don't want no ice cream. She's like, yes, I want ice cream. I said, well, you know what? We not having ice cream, because you know what? The little girl's name was Isis. I said, Isis' mother said no, she can't have ice cream, so we're not having ice cream either. But it's that type of thing where the devil will come to you and whisper something in your or tell you to do that. But my weakness is not your weakness. You understand?
Amen.
Whatever my weakness is, he knows. And he'll try to, that's why he tries to get to each and every one of us individually. And when we act on that weakness, that's when he accuses us before God. Day and night. See? You see what she did? You see?
Mm.
You thought she was your child, but look what she's doing. Same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So,
So true. So true. Amen.
True.
Is that, you want to add to that?
No, I just wanted to ask, even though we did what we weren't supposed to do, like the little girl did, but God still forgives us.
Yeah.
Oh, well,
but
yes, of course. We ask for forgiveness.
You have
right,
to
we have
ask
for it.
That's what you
have to recognize that it was wrong and ask for forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But another thing I just want.
Well, let me just finish this, Mother. Another thing is that children up to a certain age are not held responsible for their sins. So they may not even know that. All right? Did someone say 13?
Yeah, I think it's 12 or 13.
Yeah, I think
you know,
it's 12.
I was thinking about the bar
mitzvah. They're not held responsible for their sins until they are the age of 12. Over 12, I should say. So,
I don't know if that's true. I don't know if that's true.
You want to homework.
I thought it was as long as they understand. Isn't it once they have an understanding that
you
they know right
also.
From wrong?
You and Lady Nadine, you have homework. Mother, what were you going to say? Mother?
Oh, there was something I wanted to say. I wanted to say that sometimes the devil listens to what we're saying. You know, like if we talk negative or if we ask God for healing and all of that, and then we talk negative and we start complaining and stuff like that. That's how the devil knows our weaknesses and things. He knows by what we say, because he can't he can hear our mind. God is the only one that can understand our mind, but the devil hears what you say.
Mm-hmm.
He listens to what you're saying,
and do.
How you act.
And that's one reason that we don't put negativity out. You know, the way you say things, it comes back. It's in the atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you say things that are bad, and it may come back to you. Karma. It may come back to you, and it's hurtful. Amen? So when you're feeling a certain kind of way, you don't have to verbalize that. You know, in fact, you can feel some bad way. Say you let that come back to you. All right. Homework, ladies? The two ladies? Hello?
The age of sin? What are we looking up?
Ages
how...
of that. I'm trying to you.
Say it again, Barbie. You got cut off.
Can you hear me now?
Mm-hmm.
What age is it that children are responsible for their own sin? That's for Evangelist Hilda and for Lady Nadine. Okay, so one of Satan's activities is to be the accuser of the brethren. We see that in Revelation 12 and 10, which Mother read. He does this unceasingly, day and night. Of what does he accuse us? And the question is on the floor. Those who, well, of what does he accuse us?
What did you say? Who is the accuser?
No, I said one of Satan's activities is to be the accuser of the brethren, as you read in 12 and 10. He does this unceasingly, day and night. Of what does he accuse us? There's an
of
echo
the sins we've committed.
Okay. Well, we didn't want you to read it. I was going to read that.
Well, I said that he knows our weaknesses. So when we do something that's sinful, he knows what we, you know, he will entice us based on our weakness. And then when we do it, then he accuses us. He said, look, see, you thought that person, you thought she was all holy, but look what she's doing now. She's cursing somebody out.
How
so
does the devil entice you?
He can possibly put you in a situation or have put you in a situation that where he knows is your weakness. You'll be in a situation where this is a weakness. So, for example, somebody who's an alcoholic, who's probably trying to stop drinking, and all of a sudden they run into a really good friend, and the friend says, oh, man, let's go have a drink. We haven't had a drink together for a long time.
Hold it. And that's the devil?
Yes.
That's the devil?
Absolutely. That's the situation. That may
Mother,
cause you to
hold,
sin.
Hold it, Nadine. I hear you. Mother, is that the devil?
Mm-hmm. Well, the
Evangelist,
devil
is that the devil?
The devil works through people.
Evangelist, is that the devil?
yeah, I think so, yes.
Tell your story again and stop when I ask you to, Nadine.
Okay. I'm a recovering alcoholic. I haven't had a drink in a few years now. Doing good, praising God, you know. I run into a friend of mine that I haven't seen in a long time. And the friend said, oh, yay, it's so good to see you. I'm so happy to see you. We haven't seen each other for a long time. Let's go have a drink, you know, because that's something that we used to do.
Let's go have a drink and sit down and talk over old things.
The devil.
The devil is the tempter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's
the tempter.
He tempts you.
Through people.
But you know you are an alcoholic and you cannot drink.
Yeah,
so,
no, but,
so that's when you're
set up
so
being,
like,
so let me finish, please. Let me finish mine.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of being enticed to go to the bar, why don't you say, no, let's go get some ice cream? That's you. You're the one that's saying, okay,
but
I'll go to the bar, knowing that if you go to the bar, you're going to want a drink. Unless you're going to say, okay,
point.
I'll have soda, or I'll just have some milk. That's you.
But this is the whole point. That's what we're talking about. Unless you are strong in your faith and you call on the Holy Spirit to help you through those times of temptation, then we end up doing exactly what?
In the real
world? Well, I'm not finished.
Okay.
I go through this all of the time. You know, I go through this all of the time. You know, because when people say things that I get offended by, instead of me just, you know what, let me just back away, I react.
Mm-hmm.
And that I know is my weakness.
That's the devil.
But the devil.
Is that the devil?
Put things in your way. Yes, that's what I'm saying. The devil will put things in your way, tempting you. And we call on the Holy Spirit. This is why this is why Jesus said that prayer. He said, keep the evil one away from my people.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because the evil one will try to swap you up. And those are the ways that the evil one does it. He knows what your triggers are. And they'll come right at you. This is why we struggle. It's the war between, you know, powers. You know, because that's what our struggle is. Because if we didn't have those struggles, then we wouldn't have a reason to call on Jesus. We would be like, oh, fine. I ain't got to call on nobody. All I'm going to do is just go have milk at the bar. It's
okay.
But being a Christian, we're at war. We're at war
if
being
you
a Christian.
Are, and let me say
it's
something.
Not that easy.
If you are,
okay.
And nobody said it's easy. And we have to rely on the Holy Spirit. But when people get in those kinds of situations, I seriously doubt if they sit there and weigh the consequences of their deeds before they enter into whatever it is that's tempting them. Oh, I'm going to call, they don't go there. I'm going to call on the Holy Spirit to help. They don't go there. Some may, but most don't.
I do it all the time.
Okay, well, then you should never sin. You should never sin.
But I do.
Okay, I heard you.
But that's not how, but I, all right, you know what, right now? I'm going to say, Jesus, help me. So I'm going to back down. Because we're all entitled to our own opinion. And we're not supposed to argue over the word.
That's all
it is. So I'm not going to do that.
Amen.
And I'm not talking about you personally. But when people get into situations like going into a lustful situation, say, and they're looking at a person and they know they have no business being with that woman's husband or with that husband's wife or whatever, you know before you get into that situation that it's something that you ought not to do. It's wrong. But you get into it anyway, and then you say the devil made you do it. No, you did that. That was your own volition. You wanted to do that. Knowing that once it's accomplished, your deed is accomplished, you can go back and repent and say, Lord, I'm sorry, I didn't really mean it, you know, or whatever, drink, cuss, fuss, fight, whatever. We are already taught what's right and what's wrong, so we know. So we know. Okay, of
course,
we commit.
Could I say
yes?
Something there before you start?
Yeah, sure.
The devil knows what we like, you know, and like she said, he knows our weak spot. You know, and even though we might know it's wrong, because a lot of people do a lot of things, they know it's wrong, but they still go ahead and do it because their flesh is weak. So it's a struggle between the flesh and the spirit, the flesh and the
mm-hmm.
spirit, our flesh and our spirit. So it's a constant struggle because there's things that we like, And the devil, he tempts us with it, you know what I mean? So that's why eventually, you know, we have to work to get stronger in the Lord, you know. Ask God to help us to be stronger, to become stronger in the Lord.
You know? You're right.
You're right.
We have to pray for strength. You're right.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. And, of course, continuing, he has an airtight case. For believers do sin, and any sin could undo our salvation. However, our Lord, our advocate, defends us on the sole basis that all our sins were paid by his death. 1 John 2:1-2. Nadine, would you get that? 1 John 2:1-2? I'll call in a moment. Some probably unconsciously make a distinction between sins that could undo our salvation and those that would not do so little sin and those that would not do so little sin. But any sin is enough to cause us to lose our faith after the constant intercession of
God. You're breaking up badly. It's hard to hear what you're saying.
When you ready, 1 John 1.
Yep, I have it. Okay. My little children, I am writing these things to you in order that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world.
Thank you. What is propitiation?
Let's see. He took on our sins.
Righteous.
Okay, so what is propitiation?
I have to look it up because I don't know what the picture is.
I don't want you to look it up yet.
Well, I have to because I can't guess it.
Okay, well, hold it. I don't want you to explain what you found.
I won't tell you.
I won't tell you. Kind of, huh?
So he's like,
I want us to think about it. You know, use your brain before you run to Google or whatever. No go. What is propitiation?
He took on our sins.
Yeah, that's what was said. I'm saying, so what is propitiation?
I don't know. The mediator? Is he a mediator? The mediation?
Mediation. Hello?
Idiot.
Yeah, I'm here.
Propitiation.
I don't know. I have to, the only way I would know, I'll have to look it up.
Okay. Nadine, what did you find?
It's to win or gain the favor of. It's usually a spirit or a person by doing something that pleases them. So that's to perpetuate. So Christ took on, it's the atonement. He took on the atonement of our sins. It's also, propitiation.
Okay. Thank you. So what did you find?
Propitiation. I didn't look it up.
So he took on the atonement for our sins, which makes him a substitute. He substituted himself for us.
Right.
Okay.
So that, what propitiation is, propitiation, is a substitute. And if you would read that scripture one more time, 1 John 2:1-2.
Sure.
Thank you.
Absolutely. My little children, I am writing these things to you in order that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. And he is the propitiation of our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world.
Okay. Yeah, he himself.
You found something? Thank you.
No, verse 2 says that, and the New Living says he himself is the sacrifice that atones for our sins. And not only
right.
our sins, but the sins of all the world.
And so let me read this, and then I want you to tell me what atones means. Could you just mute the phone for 1 second? And then, however, our Lord, our advocate, defends us on the sole basis that all our sins were paid for by his death. All of our sins were paid for by his death. Some probably unconsciously make a distinction between sins that could undo our salvation and those that would not do so, little sins. But we know sin is sin is sin. There's no little sin. There's no big sin. There's no white lie. There's no black lie, I guess they would call it. Sin is sin is sin. A lie is a lie is a lie. But any sin is enough to cause us to lose our salvation were it not for the constant intercession, the going between, the standing in for, the substitution of our Lord that thwarts the constant accusations of our adversary, Satan. What is atonement?
Sins paid for.
Amen. He is the atonement for our sins. So when in the Old Testament were sins atoned for?
Oh, in the temple, when they was bringing the offering.
Exactly. When they had the sacrifice and they killed the lambs and the doves, or that's the atonement. So they were killed so that the sins of the people would be forgiven. Amen. That's the atonement, the sacrifice.
Amen.
Any other comments before I go into the next paragraph? And we have like 5 minutes or so.
I want to say the Jews continue to have a day of atonement. They do it annually.
Mm-hmm.
They have a day of atonement annually.
And they used to have one day a year when the high priest would go into the inner Holy of Holies and sprinkle blood all over the place. Recall that being talked about? No?
Call what?
Do they call it what?
The Day of Atonement, when the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies and he would sprinkle blood all over that particular room, I'll say, to cover the sins of the people. Let me finish. To cover the sins of the people. And for him to do that, if he had sin upon him, he could die. So what they did was, or somebody did it, there was a rope or something tied around his head.
Yeah.
So that if he were still full of sin or had sin in him and he died as he went before God, they could drag him out. He wore a bell, and if they didn't hear the bell anymore, atonement for their sins. So he would drug them out. Amen. So
exactly. That's when you, when you see them now, the rabbis or whatever, they still wear that rope around them. Part of their,
that's why,
if you notice that they still have that rope around their waist.
Because we're not going to do those kinds of sacrifices anymore. He sacrificed his life once and for all for those who are yet to be born. Amen. So he's covered us.
Mm-hmm.
Even when we were alive, when he was alive. Well, I should say, he's still alive, but men, when he walked this earth. So we got to stop about four paragraphs on page 159, and we're going to stop at one of my years ago was A.J. Ironside. Any questions?
No. Excellent lesson. Wonderful. Wonderful.
Scare you, but
scare me. Heck yeah.
God bless you. But
man.
Is there no other questions, Mother? Pray us out, please. And don't forget your homework, ladies.
I got it written down. Thank you.
What is?
That's what that means. I got two. So.
What age is children responsible for their
own sin?
For their own sin.
For their own sin. Yes.
Okay.
Mother, are you able to do
it? I'm sorry.
Able to do the homework also?
Yeah.
Okay, the question is, Evangelist Hilda, would you read it again?
Oh, what age is children responsible for their own sin?
Thank you. You got it, Mother?
Yes.
Okay, so that's for the class.
Okay.
That's for the class. Amen. You could take us out in prayer now. Thank you.
Father God, we just thank you, Father God, for this wonderful lesson today, Father God, that opens up our eyes and makes things more clear, Father God, about Jesus, as far as Jesus is concerned and how he became a substitute for us in this whole world. And also with the devil, Father God, because we don't want to be ignorant of Satan's devices. Father God, we thank you for this wonderful lesson that Sister Barbara brought today. And we thank you for all the participants, our First Lady, Father God, and also Evangelist Hilda. Father God, we thank you for the participation. Father God, we just thank you that as we keep studying your word, that things will get more and more clearer to us. Where we, when we do go out and we give a word, that we make it clearer to other people, Father God, that we know what we're talking about, and we'll be a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, like rightly dividing the word of truth. So, Father God, we just give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, your angels, your warring angels, our guardian angels, and our enemies. Thank you, everyone. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for that prayer.
Amen. Wonderful, wonderful lesson. Thank you.
May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from another in the precious and matchless name of Jesus. God bless you, ladies, and any listeners.
God bless you.
God bless you, too,
thank
everybody.
Thank you for even wanting to know more about what it is we're discussing. Amen.
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 Thank you so much. Shalom.
Shalom. Good
Shalom.
Night, everybody. On that note, we all belong to you. Praise God.
All I can't help from first. Thank you for tuning in. And if you'd like to be a blessing to this ministry, you can send your love gift offerings to Pray One for Another, P.O. Box 596, Bronx, New York, 104.